I hadn't had the opportunity to, let me see here. My fingers are so freezing, they won't do anything on my screen. There we go. I hadn't had the opportunity to read the bulletin prior to coming in here this evening. Amy just pointed out the mission focus on the front. Anybody read that yet? I mean, that is incredible. And I'm going to read it because it's so incredible. And it ties later into what I want to share this evening, but I know how I am. Once I get to going, I'll forget about it. So I'm going to put it on the front end and hopefully remind you about it later on. But I'm not going to mention the individual's name, probably for security purposes, but you can read along there. Eddie had been praying for supporters to pray for more workers to join them on the field. And then one of his supporters wrote to ask how she could serve at one of Dr. Way's schools. And her husband and twin sister had recently passed. She'd been a teacher almost 30 years. At 79 years old, she didn't expect them to be able to use her. Very surprised that she was an answer to prayer. I think about that. That's pretty incredible. She went over to Saipan in July to be used at the high school and celebrated her 80th birthday there in October. Has a heart for restricted access nations, ready to die on the field. Amazing story, really. And we'll come back to that later, but I overlooked that and touched my heart and just thought I ought to read it. You can read more detail there yourselves, but pretty amazing story, and look forward to hearing some more about how God uses her in the days ahead. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 90 this evening, be looking at Psalm 90. And some of you might be wondering, what does 2024 have in store for us? Right? That's a big open-ended question. And of course, none of us really knows all the details of that. I ran across some Pew Research Center findings revealed the greatest concerns of Americans heading into 2024. You all watch enough news, so you probably could list them. I'll list them for you. Greatest concerns of Americans heading into 2024. First on the list, inflation. Right? I probably could have got that one out of you had I asked. Concerned about inflation, followed by affordability of health care, drug addiction, violent crime, the federal budget deficit. Won't go there. Rounding out the top 10, get down the list a little bit, state of moral values in America. I know we're all concerned about that. Immigration, the quality of education, and then the list continues on down beyond that. So some national concerns that people have heading into 2024, legitimate concerns. But we can add to those national concerns a variety of personal concerns, right? We all have different things in our lives. We all have different things on our hearts. This evening, from financial concerns to employment concerns, health concerns, relationship concerns, even maybe death, concerns about death, looking forward to 2024. So there's much we don't know, all kinds of unknowns about the new year, what we're going to face in 2024. However, based on God's Word, there are a few things we can and we do know, some constants for the new year, for a new year, as our sermon title explains. So again, we're going to be in Psalm 90 this evening, and we're going to find a set of five constants there that I hope are a blessing to you. Some are kind of bad news. Some are really, really good news. And together, I hope you're encouraged by them as we move through the study. We're flipping our calendars, obviously, from December to January, and a change in year, a change in numerous things, but again, to center ourselves on what is constant, what remains the same. We just sang that hymn, O God, our help in ages past, Isaac Watts. What a great hymn. Pastor Paul told me he thought there were more chords than words in that hymn. He may be right, and he did a great job leading us in that hymn this evening. But what a beautiful hymn. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, Be thou our guide while life shall last and our eternal home. Think about all the things that change, right? Seasons change. We have a new calendar year. The year has changed. Cultures change. Technologies change. Economies change. Circumstances change. But Jesus Christ, right? Hebrews 13 is the same yesterday and today and forever. His love and grace never change. His power and wisdom never change. His words and promises never change. They are constant in our lives. So I want to give a little background on Psalm 90 before we jump into the text, and it'll help us kind of set our bearings for tonight. Right above the first verse, you can see it there, a title to this hymn, Psalm 90, and it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Many of the Psalms have titles that are helpful to us in kind of understanding some of the context. The title credits the psalm, obviously, to Moses and him writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The man of God is an interesting statement there in connection with Moses. That term appears 70 times in the Old Testament and always refers to a person who speaks for God. And Moses, obviously, was a person who spoke for God. Rewind and you look at the Exodus chapter 3. God calls Moses. And when he calls Moses, he says, "Behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." Then God goes on to say this, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh," right? A person who speaks for God. "I've made you like God to Pharaoh. You shall speak all that I command." So Moses, the man of God in the sense of a prophet, a person who speaks for God. Now, the occasion here for Psalm 90 is a little more difficult to discern. It seems very likely that this is the Israelites at the Jordan River ready to cross over and to take possession of the promised land. Okay, so that seems to be the setting here for this Psalm. You might remember you have the 10 plagues and then Moses leads God's people out of Egypt. And some 2 million people, men, women, children, walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. God providentially cares for them in every way. But what do? You know the story of Exodus. They grumble and complain all along the way. And a pattern develops there. The people rebel against God. God judges. The people cry out for mercy. Moses intercedes for them. And then God demonstrates His mercy towards Israel. That pattern you see over and over again in Exodus. However, we know the end of that story, right? Because of their unbelief, because of their rebellion, a generation did not enter into the promised land. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years, ultimately died there. Only their children would enter into the land to enjoy that promise. That seems to be the occasion for this psalm, on the banks, ready to cross over to go into the promised land. Key theme here, time, which is why we're talking about Psalm 90 this evening. That idea, that concept of time is all throughout the verses here in Psalm chapter 90. We read about days and years. We read the words morning and evening. We read the words everlasting to everlasting, generations, all these words that revolve around time. Even the question is asked in Psalm 90, "How long, Lord? How long, Lord, till you turn again towards us?" And we'll get to that in just a moment. So time seems to be on Moses' mind as he writes, and he's really praying to God, an earnest plea for God to enable his people to live meaningful lives, to live lives of significance. So as we look forward to the new year, we're already there, but as we go into the new year here, I want to share with you five constants again from Psalm 90, some reminders here. They actually form our outline this evening. If you want to jot them down, you can, and then we'll walk down through the passage and I'll give them to you as we go. So first, God will still be eternal. There's a pretty fantastic constant. God will still be eternal this 2024. That's verses 1 and 2. Second, man will still be mortal. Verses 3 through 6. Third, sin will still bring suffering, unfortunately. That's verses 7 through 11. Fourth point, God will still bring satisfaction. Good news in the midst of some troubles there. And then fifthly, God will still be working, which is why I read that testimony from China, right? God will still be working in 2024. So five constants. I'll repeat them as we go through our study this evening. By the way, God will still bring satisfaction, verses 12 through 15. God will still be working, verses 16 and 17. So it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride, right? Some good news and bad news. We're going to go up and down a little bit. We'll end on a high note on some good news this evening. So let's begin with that first constant. God will still be eternal. He is still eternal. He'll always be eternal. Moses actually uses two different names for God here in this psalm, in Psalm 90. You can see the name Lord right out of the gate, verse 1. Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. If I flip my page in my Bible, not necessarily you, but if you look down at verse 13, you can see return, O Lord. Lord, capital, all caps, capital L, O-R-D, all capitals there, the name Lord. So let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll talk about those two names of God for a moment and the importance of them. So verse 1, Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So that word, that name for God in verse 1, Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, is the Hebrew name Adonai. You probably likely know that this evening, but it carries the idea of sovereignty. Moses is addressing God as the supreme power and authority in the universe. He is Lord over all. He rules all things. So Lord, Adonai. The other name in verse 13, Lord, all caps, this is Yahweh. We've talked a lot about this over the last couple of years. Yahweh, the eternal, self-existent, unchanging God, which is very fitting, obviously, both of them, very fitting. So Lord, ruler of the universe, Lord Yahweh, the eternal, self-existent, unchanging God. The great I Am, right, of Exodus 3, which we just talked about, which is literally, I am the one who is and will be. No beginning and no end for the great I Am. He is eternal. In the words of A.W. Tozer, I've shared these words before, the mind, and you've thought about eternity, I'm sure, in relation to God. I'm sure you've thought a little bit about eternity too in relation to yourself. What will eternity be like, right? We're finite. We live in a box of time and space. What is eternity going to be like? How does that even work? I like how Tozer puts it. He says, the mind looks backward in time till the dim past vanishes, then turns and looks into the future till thought and imagination collapses from exhaustion. Have you ever done that? The imagination collapses from exhaustion, and God is at both points unaffected by either of them. He's got a way with words. That's pretty great. The eternality of God. From everlasting to everlasting, He is God. And He has been our dwelling place in all generations. Isn't that beautiful? God is transcendent, right? Far above everything that He's created, yet He's imminent. He cares. He's personally involved in all that He's created. So from everlasting to everlasting, He is God, yet He is our dwelling place in all generations. I was thinking about that. He is Creator God, and He is covenant God too, isn't He? That personal relationship with His people. Notice Moses says, He is our dwelling place, right? Not the promised land, not Mercer County. I know this is almost heaven, West Virginia, but not Mercer County either, not the tabernacle, not the church building. God Himself is our dwelling place. What a beautiful thought. No doubt in the past couple of weeks you've heard the song by Perry Como. You've heard him singing, "There's no place like home for the holidays." I almost sung for you. I stopped though. Right? Why is that such a great song? Because of home, right? Home's a pretty special place. What makes home so special? It's the comforts of home, right? The security, the safety of home, the sustenance there, the provision in home. So home is just, there's no place like home for the holidays. It's a special place. And as we think about God's presence, He is our eternal dwelling place. God's presence means obviously all of those things and so much more. Safety and security and sustenance and comfort. And I can't help but think of His Christmas name. I know I keep saying it. It's like there's an echo in the room, in the auditorium, but He's Emmanuel, right? God with us now and forever. What a beautiful Christmas name that is. So our constant in our lives one constant in our lives year after year after year is the presence of God, right? He's always been there. Always there, year after year after year. He's been our help, according to that hymn, Isaac Watts. He's been our help in ages past. There's much we don't know about the new year, but one thing's for certain, right? God will be here with us. God will be there with you at all times. He'll be our hope in years to come. Moses made a similar statement elsewhere in the Bible, Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your dwelling place. And you know the rest of that one is so beautiful. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. So no matter where we find ourselves this year, God will be there. He'll be our shelter from the stormy blast. And our eternal home as we work on that exhaustion of thought and imagination looking forward into eternity. So first constant for a new year, God will still be eternal. Second constant for the new year, man will still be mortal. This is kind of bad news, but it's reality. The reason we need a dwelling place, right? The reason we need a place of comfort, the reason we need a place of safety is because this world is not comfortable or safe, is it? So we need God to be our dwelling place here. So just as the eternality of God is constant, so is the mortality of man. James 4 says this, "You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Right? Moses says it a little differently here, if you look with me at verses 3-6. "You return man to dust and say, 'Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning, and in the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers." We'll stop there, right? So as finite created beings, we are bound by time, right? Time determined when we would start the service, which I know we started 5 minutes late. My apologies. So time determined told us when we would start the service. Time tells us when we will end. I'll try not to hold you over 5 minutes late tonight. Time will tell you when to go to bed tonight, if you're able to. And time will tell you when to wake up in the morning. Some of us with alarms, some of us without. I need that alarm to get me up in the morning. But time, we're bound by time. We live by time in this world. Before we know it, it'll be Christmas again. I heard some shushes, right? That was a lot of work, wasn't it? We just finished cleaning up from Christmas. But really, it's true, isn't it? It'll be here before we know it. We'll be back to Thanksgiving and we'll start making preparations for Christmas. I can't believe this. My daughter Kate, I'll embarrass her for a minute since she's here. She had her 18th birthday yesterday. We celebrated last night. Can you believe that? You're looking at me thinking, yeah, I can believe that. You're getting old. But it's so true. I can't believe Kate is 18 years old. Time is just flying by, and this year will fly by as well. You look at Moses' words here, you return man to dust, return, O children of man. You can see there in verse 3, reminiscent of God's word to Adam, right? Going back to Genesis chapter 3, God in judgment said, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Think about that, though. The brevity of life isn't really part of being human. It's not inherent to being human. It's really inherent. It's part of being sinful, right? We were created to live forever. Sin is what ruined the plan there, God's perfect original plan. So brevity of life is part of being sinful. For the wages of sin is death, for it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. This year, people will die. Okay, and I don't say that flippantly at all, because I know we have hurting members in our midst, in our church family right now. But people will die this year. In 2023, there were 61 million deaths. We start praying. You want to do something that's quite sobering is go to a world meter and watch the deaths tick off. I like to look at the lives tick on, not the deaths tick off. But it's a rather sobering experience. So 166,466 deaths per day, 6,936 deaths per hour, 116 deaths per minute, nearly 2 deaths per second. That's hard to believe. People will die this year. It's just the reality of life. The reality of life under the curse. Again, I don't share it flippantly. We all know what it feels like to grieve the death of somebody who we love very much. So people are going to die, not just far away, but very close to us, right? In our own families, in our own church family. We have 2 funerals this week, one tomorrow and one Friday as well. Think about Methuselah. Right? What's Methuselah famous for? Oldest person on record, 969 years. An amazing longevity in life. Almost 1,000 years. Moses talking about 1,000 years here. So the longest life on record is but what? Just a day in God's sight. In the words of Peter, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Actually, if you look at verse 4 a little closer, it's actually less than a day. Did you catch that in verse 4? Last part. Or as a watch in the night. What's a watch in the night? 4-hour period. That's it. So even less than a day, a 4-hour period of time. Life is swept away as with a flood, Moses said. We're like a drop in the massive flowing river of time. We're like a dream. I know this is kind of depressing. Like a dream gone overnight. We're like grass that springs up, then quickly withers in the heat of the day. So in the light of eternity, really our lives are but a few hours. Here one moment and then gone the next. So that's the constant. Man will still be mortal in 2024 and the years to come until Christ returns. The third constant for a new year is sin will still bring suffering. That's a hard one, hard pill to swallow, but it's true. Why is life so brief? Why is death so prevalent in the world? The answer is right here in the text. And Moses uses some pretty graphic language here. Of course, you've got to keep in mind the context is the rebellious children of Israel. But there's obviously some broader implications of sin in the world. But look with me at verse 7. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and the wrath, or in your wrath according to the fear of you? So why is life so brief? Why is death so prevalent? It's because God is angry. Why is God angry? God's angry because of sin, right? He is holy and righteous and pure, and any other description we can come up with for God in all of His purity and His majesty there. He hates sin. His righteous wrath burns against sin. And God's just. All sin must be punished in the world. And that's what Moses is talking about. Think about it. It's sin that placed the world under a curse. It's sin that made work toilsome and difficult and painful. It was sin that returned Adam to dust. Fast forward, later on here with Moses, it is sin that brought God's judgment to Israel. And we know the sins of unfaithful members of the body. Israel in this sense, the church in our sense, brings pain and toil and difficulty to the rest of the body, to the whole body, even to the faithful in the body. All of Israel's sins, Moses says, are exposed in the light of God's presence. All of our sins are exposed in the light of God's presence as well. Not just public sins, but secret sins, right? Not just sins that are acted out in the body, but sins that are acted out in our heart. God sees them. He knows them all. They're all in the light of His view. We finish our days with a sigh, right? That final exhaling of breath, but more than that, a sigh of grief, right? As life is over and sin has not the final say, but in that moment, the say. Of course, death is swallowed up in victory in the Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15. I'm reminded of Paul's words, Romans 8, verses 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning, right? Sighing together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Right? Reconnecting there to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. So this year will not just bring us closer to the end of life, but it will bring a measure of pain and persecution, of sickness and sorrow, of toil and trouble. One pastor put it this way: this year I'll sense the dust of Adam's death on my body. I'll feel the sting of the curse in my life, home, and workplace. This year I'll see my own sin ever more clearly and see the wrath it deserves as all the greater. Pretty well said there. And Moses goes on to make a contrast there. You probably picked up on it. Man's 70 or 80 years compared to God's everlasting to everlasting. Again, the eternality of God, the mortality of man. And we have to understand, He's the Lord of life, right? God is the Lord of life. He's the Lord of death. Based on His grace, based on His sovereign choice, some enjoy more years, but based on His grace and sovereignty, some enjoy less years. Others enjoy less years on this earth. He is still good. He is still Lord over life and death. And His wrath there at the last part, verse 11, His wrath toward sin is in keeping with the reverence that people created in His image should have for Him. So wrath in keeping with the reverence that is due His name that He does not receive from the people created in His image. So a little bit of bad news there, right? Points 2 and 3. A little good news to join with that, the good news of the gospel, right? For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, beautiful good news. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good news of the gospel leads to the good news of the fourth constant here. God will still bring satisfaction this upcoming year. God will still bring satisfaction. So that constant kind of a ray of hope in the darkness. Into the pain of this year, God will bring comfort. You can mark it down. He's constant in His steadfast love, His faithfulness to us. Into sorrow, He will bring joy. Into the toil, He will bring rest. Even into death, God will bring life. Look with me at verses 12 through 15. Verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on Your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with Your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as You have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil." We'll stop there for a moment. So we're flipping the calendar again, right? On to January 2024. Really an opportunity to evaluate our lives. I want to take an extended time to do that this coming Sunday, but a good time to evaluate. You know, I'm not really about New Year's resolutions, but I was doing a little reading and a little studying on that, and I ran across some things, and I thought, shame on you, Dan. You ought to be recommitting yourself to certain things this year. And I'll share that later on with the church family, just an evaluation of our lives. Our days are limited, aren't they? Life is brief. It's a vapor. It's a mist, appears and then is gone. So we need to make each day count. We need to make each moment count. How do we do that? We do that with a heart of wisdom that God gives us. We redeem the time wisely with God's help. Proverbs 9:10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." What's the fear of the Lord? I think we know it as kind of a reverential awe of God. But I like how John MacArthur put it. He defined it this way. "The fear of the Lord is a state of mind in which one's own attitudes, will, feelings, deeds, and goals are exchanged for God's." Let me say that again. "The fear of the Lord is a state of mind in which one's own attitudes, will, feelings, deeds, and goals are exchanged for God." So this year, may we long for His kingdom come, His will be done, not our own. I think of James chapter 4 again. May we say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Notice Moses' prayer there. Return, O Lord. What does he mean by return? That word means turn back, right? As God called on His people to turn back to Him, so Moses calls on God to turn back to His people. God, relent. God, bring Your righteous wrath and anger to an end. Have pity on Your servants. He also prays this, "Satisfy us in the morning with Your steadfast love." Beautiful word, of course, has rich meaning and application for us. Day after day with each new morning, and mercies are new every morning. But keep in mind the context here, right? Jordan River, entrance into the promised land, the morning and the satisfaction that that would bring to the people of Israel as God kept His covenant promises to them. So Moses longs for that. He wants God's people to experience the promises of the covenant. They're described, Deuteronomy 26, in this way. "The Lord has declared today that you are a people for His treasured possession, as He has promised you, and that you are to keep all His commandments, and that He will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that He has made, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as He promised." Right? So to know God's pity, to know God's steadfast love, is to experience and know true satisfaction. That was cause for rejoicing here in Moses' prayer. Rejoicing for Israel, rejoicing for us as well. I think of 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, the church, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Right? No satisfaction like experiencing the mercy of God, of being His people. And Moses also prays this, God, allow the joy of our days to equal the sorrow of our days. That's a pretty good prayer, but there's one better. Paul's prayer, actually Paul's words under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. What a beautiful passage that is. This year, may we long for the perfect satisfaction, right? When that weight and that burden, the eternal weight of glory is beyond all our momentary affliction on that day. Revelation 21, when the dwelling place of God is with us, and He will dwell with us, and we will be His people. And I need to wrap things up here. As before you get raptured up to heaven, at least in your mind tonight, one more thing for the new year while we're still here alive and breathing on this earth. One more constant, a final one. God will still be working. Right? In 2024, God will still be working. A 79-year-old woman turned 80 this year knows that God is still working in 2024. The constant really moves beyond encouraging weary hearts to strengthening weak hands here. Look with me at verses 16 and 17. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So Moses prayed, God, make your glory and your power and your majesty known among your people, not just in this generation, but in the next generation as well. God did that, didn't He? It was to His praise and His glory when Israel entered into the promised land finally and received the covenant promise He had given them. And Moses prays for the favor of God to rest on Israel. Favor can be translated beauty, okay? And God's beauty is on display through His people as He establishes the work of our hands, right? In His grace, in His kindness, He enables those who are weak, those who are sinful, to make their lives count for Him, for eternity, for His glory. I love how Moses ends with that repetition there. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Don't waste 2024. I'm saying that to myself too. Don't waste another minute. Don't waste another hour. Don't waste another day. Don't waste this year. Make it last for eternity. I almost shared this illustration in our Christmas series. It's one I shared some time ago. It came to my mind again, ran across it, and I thought, I got to share it. So you're going to get it whether you want it or not this evening. It's actually from John Piper, his book, Don't Waste Your Life. And some of you have heard this. It's had kind of generational impact, this illustration that he used. He writes this, I will tell you what a tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider a story from the Reader's Digest, he says, which tells about a couple who took early retirement from their jobs. 5 years ago, when he was 59 and she was 51, now they live in Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. Piper says, at first, when I read it, I thought it might be a joke, a spoof on the American dream. But it wasn't. Tragically, this was the dream. And he continues, these are convicting words. Nothing wrong with retirement. Nothing wrong with Florida. We'd all like to be there right now. Let's be honest, okay? Nothing wrong with those things. But listen to what he says as he continues along. Tragically, this was the dream. Come to the end of your life. your one and only precious God-given life, and let the last great work of your life before you give an account to your Creator be this: playing softball and collecting shells. Those are hard words. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells? That is a tragedy. And people today are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. And I love how he finishes his illustration. Over against that, I put my protest, Piper says. Don't buy it. Don't waste your life. Well said. Well said. In the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So there's a lot we don't know this year. I lied to you too. You didn't know I was going to lie to you this evening. I kept you 5 minutes over. There's a lot much we don't know about this new year, but according to Psalm 90, there's some things we can know, right? Some constants, those five constants. God will still be eternal, but man will still be mortal. Sin will still bring suffering, but God will still bring satisfaction. And don't waste your life, because God will still be working this year. I'm excited about what He will do through you, through me, this year at Johnston Chapel. By the way, I'm just going to share this incredible things with our budget and wrapping out up the year. Amazingly, God met all our needs, paid for a heat pump, and gave us all kinds of excess money beyond our budget, like He always does. To God be the glory for that. And again, I just see that as His blessing and great things to come. Full finance report to come later with all the details, but I couldn't hold that in tonight. I'm still rejoicing over God's goodness in that. So let's pray together. Father, thank You. I ask You that You would help each one of us not to waste our lives. God, You are eternal. You are the one true God from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You're worthy of our lives. You're worthy of our worship, worthy of our everything. And forgive us when we sin against You. Help this to be, at the start of the year, a time of repentance in our lives, of getting right with You, and then a time of renewing our commitments to You. God, use us in mighty ways and do it for You. Do it for Your glory in this place. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming through the darkness and the cold, and it's good to be together tonight. Thank you.